All right. Well, I've enjoyed the games and the specials. I guess there's another game on the list, just when you think you're all done, you know. Anyway, I like that class, Future Leaders class. Now, you introduced them that way, right? That's a blessing. Is that your team name of your team? Future Leaders. All right, so that's a big title. You got to live up to that one. You could be turning to 1 Corinthians. That other special is a blessing. I've known the Caldeals a long time, too. I was thinking of that time. Where'd they disappear to? Did they go off on a prayer meeting? Sing and leave. How do you like that? Where'd they go? Keeping the nursery, probably? I don't know. Anyway, it was unnecessary information, but good specials, though. 1 Corinthians 6. Well, I enjoyed the chicken and the pickles. Let me see. Well, you need. I can't eat it. I couldn't eat the rest of the poison. And no offense to whoever had the desserts. I'm sure they're good. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'm not going to read the text until about 30 minutes from now. I'm just kidding. No. where would we be without the Word of God? You know, last year, I mean, is undefinable and still halfway continues, I guess. But a song came to my mind. The Crumpton Vault, sometimes a song will come that could have been from who knows when in the Sunday school years. But it's a little song called Why Worry When You Can Pray. Does that ring a bell with anybody? Raise your hand if you heard that song. Why worry when you can pray? No, raise your hand higher. Let me see that. Wow. It's from way back in the vault, I guess. But it sort of became our lockdown theme. You know, we had to, I know some churches continued on, but it came out in our county before lockdown. It came out on March the 6th, 2020, in an Assembly of God thing they were having over in Greer's Ferry, which is about 45 minutes from us. And the crazy thing was the CDC, you can look it up, they used that meeting to tell everybody, hey, it spreads in churches and so forth. Nobody knew anything at March the 6th. You couldn't use it that way. And it was a thing, and really two died in their group from that. And so rather than be a stumbling block, we needed to, you know, locked down. We were heavily involved in the community, and I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But so we, you know, some people are upset with, we did it on FaceTime, and we have a conference call. We still use that. I'm sorry, I can't find in the Bible where we couldn't do that for time. Hey, I told them, look, when an ice storm comes, we don't have service. I'd rather not preach everybody's funeral. I mean, when ice hits in Arkansas, you can't even walk on it. And so elderly folks don't need to be well. So we had a virus storm. And listen, however your church dealt with it, I'm gonna face God with peace on it. You had to just deal with your situation. But I'm not going to be, a stumbling block thing is in the Bible. Amen. So that's how we dealt with it. But we were back by Mother's Day. And so back at it, we just didn't shake hands for a while and, you know, didn't pass the plates. You know, you just had to do different things. Sometimes it's just have the confidence of everybody. And so, but anyway, the song. This is how it goes. Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus, He'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Rest fully on His promise. Why worry, 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 worry when you can pray? You like it? Let's try it. Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus, He'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Rest fully on His promise. Why worry, 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 worry when you can pray?
Amen.
If you need it to take home, I'll sing it for you again or send you a recording. Why worry? 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not, I love how Paul, under the inspiration, just says that question. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. That sounds like the outside. And in your spirit. Sounds like the inside. Which are God's. We are continuing things that matter the most. Heavenly Father, we love you and thank you so much for your word. Your holy word, your pure word, your preserved word. And Lord, how fortunate we are to be able to have it so handy. Lord, we have Bibles, we have it on our phones. Lord, we have it so many ways, audio, just different ways. There's no excuse for us. And Lord, you promised that we'd be blessed if we hungered and thirst after righteousness. And so, Lord, this is the time. We are so desperate in need of your word. We don't even realize how needy we are, Lord. Forgive us of our pride in thinking, can't wait to go. Lord, please help us not to be that way. This is the reason we came. Those that are lost, the natural man, calls it foolishness of preaching. But Lord, we know it is the foundation, the gospel message of the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son. And so, Lord, we pray that we would intensely listen, that we would be like dry sponges and just soak up your word and let it change our lives for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. All right, we're going to try to pick up where we left off here. So the choice in life is either God's way or the devil's way. It's what it comes down to. The devil's way is 100% opposed to God's way. And so if God started marriage and said, this is how it is, the devil will have a horrible replacement for it. And he'll start small and work it just as long as it's not God's design. Same thing, male and female. Is that distracting you too much? You're all okay? I just need to put it on when I'm reading. So I'll try to do a little both there. Whoa. Maybe I should leave them on. I don't know. All right. I look down too much. All right. You're just going to put up with it. Satan's lie will be subtle. I used to preach a message to kids about this subject. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord. And I had this jar of stuff I just dug out. I dug some right out here one time and put some rotten stuff in there. And some of it was good. And so, you know, this abomination was the idea of trying to bring across. But Satan, and any kind of lie, is an abomination to God. There's a message right there. You can't live a lie. Again, be what God's made you to be. But Satan's lie will have a lot of partial truth, but it will be that of rebellion. Let me just show you. We'll get started here with an old thing that I've used a very long time. Let me get some help here. Some volunteers. This guy in a bow tie, you'll do. Come on up here. And let's see, get one of our girls right here. You raised your hand, so I'll come on up. And let's see, just you stand right over here, sir. And you can stand right there. Now, in case there's any confusion here, Brother Mackey, I appreciate what you said, but just in case, we don't have to talk about this, but just in case, let me help you something, okay? It's not that hard to tell. This a boy. It's crazy you have to do this.
Yeah, it is.
This is a girl. Isn't that easy? Now, it seems to me that when it's on the sign everywhere, it shouldn't be that difficult to get this. I'm not making a mock at sin. Now, I realize this is an either or. There's one out here just like this. But rather than buy two signs, I'm a tightwad. I just ordered one. Now, notice here, there's not much difference in this stick figure. I don't know if we could call it an emoji. This is pre-emoji. This has been around a while. I've even seen these in India, only the dresses are longer. I'm just saying, it's the truth. You can look it up yourself. We're not talking about separation. We're talking about the natural man. Here's a verse. Can we just get this? The natural man. Remember that text in 1 Corinthians? There's some things that the natural man gets, though. Okay? The natural man understandeth not the things of God. But doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. There's no hair on this pre-emoji. Okay? But there's one particular thing that nature itself has taught us. It was real tricky. Y'all can be, well, let me do one more thing. So evolution, how did it work? How does evolution affecting us now? Because we evolve from something into something according to the evolutionist. Does it affect male, female? Yes, because now males are evolving over into females. Oh, they won't call it evolution, but they'll call it operation, maybe. Females evolving over into males. This, if I can just say this in the most loving way, this is not hate speech, but this is opposed to God's design. Right. And if we continue on this path, if we continue to say, hey, you know, that's okay for them to think that way. I'm not that way, but that's okay. Until we stop that chain of letters that has a plus that will never, ever end. Aren't we supposed to let our light so shine? We can't remain silent on this. Now, we're not the fixers. Again, last time I checked, I have never saved anybody's soul. I'm not the fixer. Okay, so you're dealing with lost people. Why be surprised? When you were lost, you were going to hell just like anybody else. I don't care if you grew up in church or whatever.
That's right.
Ground is level at the foot of the cross.
Right.
Okay, I'll say more something about that later. But these two can't mix. There is what we understand naturally. Okay? I'm not talking, doesn't this help? To me, it helped me, Brother Mackey. We're not even talking about separation now.
Right.
We're talking about natural. There's some natural things that we understand. If I drop this, we naturally understand gravity did this. Science says this is male.
Right.
Science says this is a female.
Amen.
They say follow the science. I don't see anybody following the science out there.
Right.
I see them following their own imaginations.
Right.
Only as in the days of Noah were. Only evil continually. The trend has started. It's getting very trendy to try this thing. Thank y'all. Now maybe something happened. Why would someone switch to this? Boys to girls, girls to boys, and then what you are to some several things that it goes to. Why do this? Perhaps they had a boyfriend or a girlfriend and it broke up and they got bitter and so they're going to try the other sex. I don't know. Something's wrong happened. I don't think you need a boyfriend or girlfriend to begin with.
Amen.
Is it good for a man not to touch a woman? I'm getting ahead of myself. This is so needy. So we've heard all this before. Yeah, but I'm just backing what you've heard because it needs to be said. It needs to be ingrained that you focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. You love Him with all your heart. And this body you have is His design. And if you are saved, it does not belong to you. We just read it. Which are God's. And try to debate that one. God's. Satan's way will not work. God said in our original text this morning, be fruitful and multiply. Two men cannot be fruitful and multiply. Two women cannot be fruitful and multiply. If this was the only choice, the world would have zero babies. This is science. Follow the science. Listen, the science says that sodomy, this science presently that they're trying to say follow, that sodomy is acceptable, and this same science that I'm hearing will also keep the earth from being overpopulated. I wonder how amazing that is that fits together, because there is a trend of people saying the world's too populated. These same people are for the messing up of God's design. Amazing how that fits together. Think about it. Did I overload you with that thought? I hope I said it plain enough. It fits together. I'm going to skip a little bit here. This is not a new thing, by the way. I was going to have you turn, but don't. Ezekiel 16, the real story behind Sodom and Gomorrah was that they had pride, fullness of bread. They had issues that led to the sin that was there. Holy, listen now, holy matrimony, marriage matters. It's God ordained that males marry females properly. It is not God ordained that they just live together. It's not God ordained that they just live together. Well, here's their logic. We'll try it out for a while. Not God's design. If we continue the trend of going against God's design, we as a world, as a nation, as your own individual self, are headed for full destruction. This is not to be tried out for a while. It does not work that way. Don't follow their logic. Again, if you're saved, follow the scriptures. There's the natural man lost. There's a spiritual man, which is a saved, surrendered. And then there's a carnal man, which is a saved person, not surrendered. It starts justifying. It starts backsliding. It starts accepting world's thinking. Do you realize that God judged nations for the sins that I'm talking about? There was two main things that God judged nations for. If you read the history of Israel, it's so obvious, it'll stand out like that. It was adultery and idolatry. Am I right, preacher? Study, those who have studied your Bible, read through, adultery and idolatry. That was the ones. That was the main sins that were judged. I'm going to read just Jeremiah. Now, please, again, young people, I prayed hard about this message. I pray you'll get this, and I pray you'll realize that they're getting taken down. Young people that have grown up in our churches are getting taken down by the ranks one after another, and they're finding reasons to leave, and they're not staying with what you have here. You have such a wonderful thing here. I thank God for my heritage. I wouldn't trade it for nothing. You say, did everything go right in your heritage? No. I don't think anybody gets an A-plus in this room either when it comes to measuring up. And whoever said we're supposed to measure up anyway? Just love the Lord with all your heart. Yeah. I don't have to measure. Comparing ourselves among ourselves is not wise. Right. So you wouldn't believe what a preacher said to me one time. I would. I would believe it. So a preacher gets carnal once. Does that mean you leave the whole system of God's Word? Is that what you do? Oh, sorry. Listen, I'm just telling you, young people, the devil's after you. I used to say this. I used to say this to kids, the little kids, and make sure you got it. Listen close. Listen close. The devil hates you. Doesn't care anything about you. He wants to shred your life to pieces. He wants you to be miserable. And the only chance you've got is peace from the Word of God. It's the only chance any of us have. So listen close to me. I'm going to read this scripture, Jeremiah 5:7. Again, God's warning the people of Israel through the prophet Jeremiah. He says to the people of Israel, "How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me. Thy children have forsaken me and sworn by them that are no gods." They were swearing by idolatry. They were swearing by statues. But it didn't stop there. "When I had fed them to the full, then they committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in harlots' houses." I want to tell you something, young boys. Young boys are lining up by troops, viewing pornography on the internet. They're lining up by troops, as the scripture said. You think we're just going to get away with that? You think that nobody's watching this? The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. One of the greatest truths the Lord ever let me preach. I was reading about Moses there. That's before he saw the burning bush. So he's in Israel. And he's going to take things into his hand. He saw one of his Hebrew brothers getting, done wrong. You know the story. The Bible says Moses looked this way. And he looked that way. Why was he doing that? Because he knew he was about to do something wrong.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something. If you have to look both ways before you're about to do something to make sure nobody's watching, you're about to sin. Right. And listen, let me help you. There's a way of escape. Right. You don't have to. There's no temptation taken to you with such a common man, but God is faithful. He gave us a way of escape. It's just like, if you start looking over your shoulder to see if anybody's watching, you have a moment right there where you don't have to look at the sin you're about to look at. I'm telling you, it's going to destroy your life.
Amen. It's right.
These eyes, I'm going to tell you something. They're a gift from God. The first time this happened to me, I woke up, I told my wife, I can't see. My eyes are as blurry as can be. I don't know what's going on. It was that way for about 3 weeks. I was able to correct it with this thing here. Then it went away. Then it came back a year later. This time we figured out what it was. When someone's diabetic, there are possibilities. Some human bodies deal with the sugar and insulin things differently. But what happens is my body was drawing a little water from my eyes and changing the shape of my eyeballs. That's what's happening right now. And if I just really cut back with zero carbs and whatever, it will clear up in a few weeks. Sometimes last year it worked. I did some fasting for a while. God, please don't take my eyes. You'll pray hard when you start losing things. These eyes don't belong to me. If God wants to take them, I'll have to figure that out. They don't belong to you to look at what you think you... I'm just trying to help you young people. It's bad addiction. Just let God have your eyes. Just give them to Him. Just lay them on the altar. I love how He talked about a lamb. Just say, Lord, these are your eyes. They're yours. These are your hands. Lord, these are emotions that you gave to me. I want them to always please you. Help me now.
Amen. That's right.
Look at that scripture. Lining up my troops. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust. I love how the scriptures always do this. We tend to preach on the bad. Don't do this, don't do that. But the scripture always helps us flee youthful lust. Yes, but then it says follow. If you're going to flee something, you better follow something.
That's right.
If you get it out, we deal with addictions. Man, I was excited. We had about 6 visitors come Thursday night. A couple of them returned, but some had never even come before. I mean, they don't know the Bible at all. It's so great.
Yeah.
It's so great to see somebody coming that's hungry for the Word.
Amen.
You say, well, folks got a long way to go. You have no idea. But then again, comparing ourselves, how far do we have to go?
Right.
Keep it in perspective. Follow righteousness, follow faith, charity, peace, within the call of the Lord out of a pure heart. If you're gonna get that junk out of your life, you better put the right thing back in. In Acts 19:19, they came, they brought their curious arts. I love how that's worded there. Curious arts. We understand that's witchcraft, and it was maybe even millions of dollars of witchcraft. But I like how we have it worded, curious. I don't know what old saying, curiosity killed the cat. Yeah, it about killed the Christian too.
Yeah. Right.
Man, there's so much trash to get out there. Listen, if it's between you and the Lord right now, but you say, I'm having trouble watching stuff on my phone, sneaking around, go to your parents. Go to them and say, I'm sorry. Will you please fix my phone where it won't go there? I need help with it. It's okay to admit wrong. As a matter of fact, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We better get on top of this, because if we're it, like you said, and listen, if the world's going to be saved, it's going to be the Lord doing the saving. We just get in on the blessings. But I'm going to tell you something, you'll get out of the blessings if you let junk get in your life.
Right.
And you don't have to. Just lay it on an altar. Just surrender and do it every day. Die daily, like Paul said. Please don't let this stuff eat you up. It's already hard enough keeping folks in church. They're finding reasons to leave.
Yeah.
But listen, if you get ate up by sin, please don't destroy your life over it. You don't have to.
Right.
We're no longer bound by sin. If we're saved, that stuff does not have to control us. Keep God in the right place in your life. say, it won't happen to me. We could tell you so many stories. There was a pastor. This church supported us back when we traveled. And I remember him saying this. We were at a conference of some kind, and he told the group of missionaries, it was for a missionaries kind of camp meeting, and he said, I have a prayer that if I ever sin on my wife while I'm on the mission field, that he'll take me to heaven. I heard him say that with my own mouth. Several years later, he went into sin against his wife. I'm talking to an independent Baptist pastor. He went into sin. And God took him home. This is not a made-up story. One of his sons went into radical homosexuality, who had grown up in church just like you. He said, it won't happen to me. It doesn't have to happen. This was the verse let me read this one. James 1, but every man when he is tempted, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, see, you can't blame anybody else. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth what? Sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now, I'm not saying that if you get into sin, it's going to kill you. But death means separation. Let's get this understanding. Right. Death means separation, which right now you have such an opportunity to serve the Lord. And what a blessing. And marry right and live for Him and shine for Him. All the blessings that come with what you're growing up with. You can keep it going until you're 53 with God doing it. Only with God doing it. You can marry pure. You can marry right. You say it's too late for me. I've already messed up. I got a story for you too. You can get saved. You can stay pure from here on. You say it's too late for me. I've already... No. I read from 1 Corinthians there. You know what those guys were saying? Back in the day, the church of Corinth, they were saying, yeah, you live like a Corinthian. That was, ooh, you Corinthianized somebody? Because that meant you're a fornicator when you said that. That's a great place to start a church. 1 and 2 Corinthians, we have. Man, there was sin and it started happening in the church again. And that's why this verse came up. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple? You don't live that life anymore. There was sin in the church, some members, and they got carnal. Paul just called, he said, was Paul judging them? Yeah, they needed it.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll call you carnal. Man, that's pretty tough. Man, we need it, see. We need this. Marriage. I'll read you. This is so good. There was a day where none of this was a thing. Webster's 1828 dictionary. Marriage. Mowage. See, you watched a wicked show too. Don't give me that. You thought it when I said it the first time. Do we not need to get on the altar and get right? We justify carnal stuff all the time. See, I don't know what you're talking about. I just said, great. I'm glad you live in a holy family. Some of us compromised. Sorry. The act of uniting a man and woman for life. Wedlock. The legal union of a man and woman for life. It repeats it. I love that. Marriage is a contract, both civil and religious, by which the parties engage to live together in mutual affection and fidelity till death shall separate them. Marriage was instituted by God Himself for the purpose of preventing the promiscuous intercourse of the sexes, for promoting domestic felicity, and for securing the maintenance and education of children. You say, was God in a dictionary back then? Oh, yeah. Wait, I'm not even done yet.
Yeah.
Listen to this in the dictionary. Marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. Hebrews 13:4. In the dictionary. And they had a couple extras there. Oh, this one's there too. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king who made a marriage for his son. Matthew 22:2. This was in there too. Ooh. And in a scriptural sense, the union between Christ and His church by the covenant of grace, Revelation 19:7. Marriage of the Lamb has come. I mean, that's almost as good as the Authorized King James Version. That's just right. That's out of the dictionary. I just read those verses out of the dictionary. Yeah, but if you get a Webster's now, it's been revised and revised and revised and revised. Kind of like what they're doing to the Bible.
Yeah,
had to say it. It seemed like it worked. Hey, married life matters. 31 years. Man, I remember it. April 28th, 1990. We grew up like you. You know, 6-inch rule. Or is that still a thing? Has it moved to 3? 3-inch rule now? Is it 2? I don't know what. It's getting dangerous, I know, huh?
6-foot.
6-foot rule? Pandemic changed everything, didn't it? Yeah. Wow. So, here comes the bride. Wedding day. Back door's open. Her dad's escorting her in. We hadn't kissed before, ever. I don't have no reason to lie to you, okay? Hadn't kissed. I'd had other girlfriends, okay? I hadn't kissed any of them. So here it is. Da 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 da. Go through all the stuff. The candle. There was a ladybug calling up the Unity candle. I thumped it off. There's always something weird at a wedding. We sang to each other. Household of faith, we sang to each other. Then the preacher preached the greatest message, really, that I ever heard in my life. Greatest message, especially the very last thing he said. You may kiss the bride. Really, that was all I remembered in the message. But anyway. Your marriage day, it's time to be carnal, I guess. I don't know. But it's worth it. God gave us 5 kids, now 7 grandkids. He talked about the word divorce. We made a decision before we was married that that word would not be in our personal vocabulary unless we had to talk about it to somebody else. It wasn't even a joke. You know, I've heard people joke, you do that again on divorce. We didn't joke about that. We never even used that word when we talk together. It's not part of us. You're not your own. This body is God's. I love Paul how he said that. What are we even thinking? We're talking about things being essential. Remember, that's also a phrase of pandemia. Yeah. Essential. A good marriage is essential.
Amen. Right.
You starting to look at a few pictures is going to mess up that essential marriage.
Right.
You say, it's too late, I've already messed up. No, it's not. You can get it right with God and never return. There's people that have been on methamphetamine and they thought they'd never get off of it. My son-in-law, before he started writing, that's a whole story. I have to save time here. But he was on meth. As a matter of fact, when he was 13, he decided to be the best drug dealer in Cleveland County at 13 years old. And I'll tell you something, he was heading that way. He was getting into bigger stuff. As a matter of fact, if a drug dealer could be ethical, he's about the most ethical drug dealer there ever was because he tried to be honest and work and do what you had to do to sell drugs. If there could be ethics, I don't know. But that's part of the reason why I let him talk after he got saved and proved himself and was clean a long time, which I had to get some things right with the Lord because if God didn't hold it against him, how could I? You say, well, I want my daughter to marry a virgin man. I did too. That's what I prayed for. But that wasn't what God wanted. Can we get victory over that? Can I be transparent here?
Go ahead.
I want to tell you something. Randy Hicks is one of the hardest working young men I've ever seen in my life. He's a welder. And you know what God gave him? He preaches to his co-workers every Thursday at lunch.
Amen.
The boss set it up. God did that. He didn't even ask to do that. Do you need more stories like this? Because they're out there too. The good ones.
Yep.
So I had to get a little victory. Okay, this guy living out of his truck's a crack. We call him crackhead, right? He's going to marry my daughter. I had to get a little victory and figure that one out. And I prayed a lot about that. I'm going to tell you something. He's the most godly man in our church, and he is a deacon now. He was never married before. You okay? Everybody all right? God cleaned him up.
Yep.
Hey, all you little independent Baptist overgrown juniors, God cleans us up too.
Right.
Stay with me now. So I've talked to guys in court. Now, I want to show you something. I know this is weird. I have one of these. Now, you're out of my jurisdiction. You say, what are you talking about? Yeah, I'm a deputy in the state of Arkansas. Sworn in deputy. So you're supposed to swear like I did. Y'all okay? I uphold the Constitution of the United States of America. It's God ordained. I don't know. Seems to work okay. It's a lot of good open doors.
Yeah.
Some visitors came to our church because I was in court. It happens regularly. I give glory to God. It's amazing. So there's a whole... I actually went through the court security training. I've been tased. That is not fun. There's no words for that. I've been peppered. I think that was even worse. But anyway, so, you know, deputies need the Lord.
Yep.
Everybody needs the Lord.
Amen.
Okay. We were in jail ministry several years before this opportunity came up, but it did. And so I pray with the judge. I pray with the sheriff. I pray with different ones, getting to know them. I'm talking about sitting in the office. I've had judges say, well, what do you think about it? I'm like, I didn't study any law. I don't know what I'm supposed to say. You let the Lord have everything. You'd be surprised where he may put you. So I've been in this cell before they come into juvenile courts, just sat in there. And prayed with these guys that are locked all in chains. We have a school ministry. We're in a public school. Some of the guys have ankle bracelet monitors on where they can't leave. And it's a computer. They can follow you. You better be thankful for how well you have it.
Yeah, that's right.
But I believe anybody can be changed if they meet the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. Amen.
Again, I'm trying to condense all that could be said here. But so just a little while back, the sheriff asked if we could use our church facility to train some reserve deputies. Now, everything I do for the sheriff's office is volunteer. I don't get any pay as I do court security and things like that. Mainly one I sit in on is the drug court. Hopefully I maybe can guide them to a recovery more. Rather got them to Jesus mostly, but anyway, got to plant the seed, let the Holy Spirit work, all that, right? I got to tell this one. So there's a guy that we had led to the Lord in jail, and it was so exciting. And so he went to prison. Well, lockdown happened. We didn't have any jail ministry through 2020. And so anyway, so we're coming back in person, first drug court back, and this was like February this year, and he had gotten back. He stands for a judge. I'm over here. Everybody's in masks, you know. And so he's talking to the judge. And the judge says, so what meetings have you been going to since you got back from prison? He said, well, I want to go to Brother Tim's meeting. And so I'm standing right there, full uniform. And so right in front of the judge, I handed him an invitation to come. And he came for several months until he got a job on Thursday night and he couldn't come. I'm just saying, God will give you opportunities. Yield to him, and you get in on the blessings. I can't hardly stop. I can tell you stories. But anyway, so the reserves. They were going to use our church building to do the training and so forth. And so I'm just cut right to it. One of the trainers said to these guys, he said, hey, listen, you need to remember this. You need to keep it real. Because if you're going to cuff somebody, if you're going to arrest, if you're going to charge somebody with something, you need to remember that you're only one choice from being in their shoes. I thought, man, that'll preach real good. One choice will put you as a felon like that.
Yep.
Behind bars. One wrong choice. You may be thinking, I'm going to look this way and see, I don't see nobody. I'm going to look this way. And then you make a choice to do something that could put you in for 20 years. You say, well, if it's a first felon, it can't be that bad. You don't know that.
Right.
We have a little saying in our program, and those of you that do the Hope Ministry would know, sin destroys everything it touches, right?
Yep.
But here's the other one. You can choose the sin, but you can't what?
Choose the consequences.
Young people, listen, you don't have to choose a sin. We're under grace. We don't have to choose sin. I'm going to keep moving. Man. All right, let's see. Okay, this happened to me Thursday. This is new. I didn't even go do this week. We're talking about being real. Keep God's design. Follow His plan for marriage. So I took a class. I have to do 24 hours of training to keep the deputy status. And I'm a little opposed to that because the full-time guys only have to do 24. The full-time patrol guys have to do 24. Me, reserve, volunteer. I have to do 24 to keep carrying a gun. Anyway, I'm not bitter over it. So I did 4 hours. Now this one is very interesting. You know there's counterfeit money out there, right? So this is a 4-hour class. I got to do this. And man, there's so many little things on genuine money. The main point is this. Cut right at the chase. So, the Secret Service was there. They were the teachers. I'm like, oh, these guys know this stuff, man. They were the Secret Service. They said, our guys study the real money. That's how we detect the fake. They said it. I've heard that illustration, Brother Mark, a long time. But I heard, I was like, oh, that's the real guy. It's like the horse's mouth. He said it. Yeah, they study the real. They don't study counterfeit. They don't study the fake. Fake is easy to tell. But the real thing, there's lots of marks. Is that in the Bible? I think marks. But look at this. So you can put money under a dark light, a black light, and if it's 100, it's different. You know that one red thing, you look up, you hold it, it's got a line right there. This one don't have a line. I'm just kidding. It's all right. Got that line right there, and it'll glow them certain colors. And so this is a little chart thing they gave us, and it shows all the little things that they have in now. Now, the $1 bills don't have it because it would cost more to put it in the $1 bill than the dollar bill's worth. But seriously, this happened in our town several years ago. And at that time, my wife was working part-time a little bit for a resale store? Help me out. Consignment. That's right. Consignment store. And in our county, somebody was taking $5 bills and bleaching them off, okay, because it had a line in it for a $5 bill, and they were making hundreds out of it. Because copy machines now are pretty good, and they're getting better. But they're not going to beat that Secret Service. I think it wouldn't beat me. I can tell you now. But most people, they get some money, take it back out and you're ready to spend it. Nobody looks at it. I'm going to tell you something. I was taking notes. I could just tell when I picked it up. So it didn't feel right. And there was a couple of them they had done pretty well. So I had to look at those. But there was a few things right off you could tell. Hello, Christians. Are you real? Oh, you can pull off maybe a little on the outside. But God looketh on the heart. We know that. So my wife deposited some cash for the business. She was the manager, and she deposited money. Well, it came back that one of them was in there. So is she committing fraud for the business? And notice she's not in jail for her whole life now. Because there's only one way out. Let me read you this. For the use of, production of, or mere possession of counterfeit money is a maximum sentence of 20 years. They might give you less, but maximum 20 years. The only chance you have of getting out of it is if there is intent to commit fraud. And my wife, they proved that hers had no intent. She didn't even know it was in there. But anyway, they chased them down and got them. Intent. You know, there's been people that haven't done anything as far as like a robbing of a bank or been near somebody, but they were just along for the ride and still got in trouble. Now, I know God winks at our ignorance, okay? I know that, but as soon as you don't get ignorant, it's almost like when a little child begins to understand that they're a sinner, that's when they can get saved. And there's a point where you can begin to understand that you're sinning. You may have never encountered what you're experiencing before, but suddenly you realize something's wrong here. Don't keep going into it. If you're saved, you've got the Lord right there. Okay? This is real stuff, I'm telling you. Real stuff. But there's people out there that are completely counterfeit. Completely counterfeit. God help us not to be that. Jesus dealt with, he told him, he said, ye are of your father the devil. Well, Jesus was tough. I don't believe I could say, ye are of your father the devil. I guess he said it in truth and in love. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. A lost person's spiritual father is the devil. So when we lie, when we fraud, when we fake, how do you think that makes our Heavenly Father feel? You can only live a lie for so long, then the consequences will come. And back to the original design. Male equals boy. Okay, this is so simple. Female equals girl. A person's sex and gender are equal according to science, but even more so according to God. Please do not get sucked into the lie of Satan. Stay with God's design. Family life matters. All right, God's will. We're going to switch gears here. We're going to get into the other message. It won't take that long. I've got a whole lot less notes for the next one. Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So I'm not a child. Yeah, you are. In the Bible, there were children up to the age 19. You can look it up in the Old Testament. Help me out, preachers. It's Bible. It was that point. That was the turning point of the ones that died in the wilderness. So thank God you're 19 or younger. Yeah, thank God right there. This is great. It came to me one day, just like, not a new word out of heaven. That's unbiblical. It was an old word out of heaven. I know God's will for your life. This is the thing, man. I've heard preachers, I'm going to preach on God's will for your life. Yeah, I want to know. I want to know what God's will. I want to know who I'm going to marry. You know? God's will is not found by searching. It's found by obedience. See, God's will is simply this. It's what He wants. It's what God wants. God wants us to love Him. He wants us to fellowship with Him. And He doesn't fellowship with sin, see? When we're surrendered. Boy, sweet, sweet fellowship with the Lord. Sweet hour of prayer. You know how the song goes? Don't worry about who you're going to marry. Listen, please, don't worry about that. Obey Him, and I'm going to tell you something. He'll plug in. Best thing. If you just wait on Him. Wait on the Lord. Be of courage. He's your strength and heart. Wait on Him. Don't worry about that. Right. Yeah, but there's no guys in my church. You don't know that. Because when the time comes, maybe there will be a guy. That's right. A guy to get saved and changed. And so, I know we have different feelings about Bible colleges here. I understand that. I trained my own son in my home church, and then three of my kids went to Heartland. Anyway, our daughter Sarah was at Heartland. And, you know, she didn't have a guy yet. She's what about this point? 20? She's probably 21. You know, she's getting to be old maid. 21. I didn't see any worry in her. So I asked her one day, well, I said, how's Pickens down here at that college? Well, she said, Dad, all the good ones are taken, the rest of them are idiots. I said, well, you'll go far with that. Stay with it. I love it, man. But you know what? God was growing one back home. Growing them right out of the woods of Cleveland County. I wouldn't trade Randy for nothing. Now he's a daddy with two kids. Amazing what God can do. I know Brother Bill Marshall. Where's the church? Where's your church, Bill Marshall? Right here? Yeah. He was the first one to ever go to Calvary in Eufaula. My son-in-law went to Calvary in Eufaula. It's a unique little thing there. Anyway, I'm just talking. All right. Everybody stand up. Turn around 3 times. One, two, three, go do it. Yeah. And then turn your Bibles to message number two. We're still hanging on that question mark. If anybody need to call me off, I'll do it. I don't know what time y'all need to get home, but what are you going to do tomorrow? Go to church, so we'll just do it now. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Familiar verse. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need you. Lord, it's your church. Lord, there's so many of your churches around the world. I pray that you'll help us to have a clear understanding here. And Lord, thank you that these young people are growing up in one of your churches. Lord, what a privilege, what a blessing. Lord, you love the church and you gave yourself for it. I pray you'll help us with this in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, be seated. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Now listen, a church cannot be a church if it's not an assembly. This is basic. But sometimes we just need little basics just to be reminded and just to realize how thankful you can be for what you have. What you have no idea how good it is. You can begin to get this. Okay? Because there's a lot of things that are counterfeit. See how this is all working? There's a lot of things that call and sell churches out there that are counterfeit. And you put it under the thing right there, and you're going to say, hey, that's this missing. But some of the things will just stand right out. It'll feel wrong right off. Man, there's even glitter. You can turn a $20 bill, and you can see that thing. They even show you what color. It turns the copper to green. You can see that. You know how those things are? There's a whole, so many things, but this is the real thing. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. Now listen, the church is not within you. This is so good. Again, I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you real, but people have come up with other things like the church is in you. It's not. Help me now. You say, I don't want to be confused here. The church is an assembly, okay? And there's several churches here. It has to be assembly. It has to be a called out assembly, okay? This message is so that you'll be thankful and so that you won't run from what good church you have. That's what this message is for. Because people that have grown up, listen now, people that have grown up and been trained in good churches are now finding reason to compromise and to be one of these. Fake. You're not heard me yet. Please, I'm asking you to tune into this. I know you're listening with your ears, but please try to get this with your heart. Before you decide to leave a church, you better make sure that it is clearly doctrinally wrong. Is it ever right to leave something that calls itself a church? Yes. There is reasons. But not just because somebody worded something wrong or somebody didn't treat just right. There's ways to work through those things. It's called restoration. Jesus said that in Matthew 18. He started helping his church right off. Way before Acts chapter 2. Because he'd already started it. Amen. Come on. We're real. We got this. All right. Why do we deserve to have the real? I don't know. Thank God for His grace to us. The church is not within you. It's an assembly. Before Jesus started His first church, okay, churches in the way that the Greek worded it, okay, the ecclesia, they were like citizen assemblies. They were town hall meetings. I'm not talking about the Lord's church. Set that out of the way for a minute. We're talking history for a minute here, okay? They had town hall meetings. And that was an ecclesia. That was a church. Now it wasn't. Get the cross off the top of it, okay? Get the religious part out of it. What Jesus began, set that aside. We're talking about history because how would the disciples even know what Jesus was talking about if there hadn't already been something? He said, "I will build my church." You're going to have your town hall meeting. See, the disciple knew exactly what he was saying. Reason why it's confusing our generation because there's so much fraud. There's so much counterfeit. So you have to get it. You got to go to the Bible to get it. And where else did you get it? Yeah, it was a town hall meeting. So this town hall meeting that Jesus began was for the Father's business. If a town hall met, they were going to meet for the business of the community. Okay, but now Jesus said, I'm going to start my church. And it's going to be for the Father's business. He said, he established that when he was 12 years old. He said, I must be about my Father's business. And it's a good business. It's a great business. I can't believe we're in this business, but we are. We get to share the blessings of being in this business. And so this present business meeting, the type, is the type of now baptized believer citizens of heaven. Can we put this together like this? For the Father's business that's happening all over the world, especially on the Lord's Day, and they're very active doing the Father's business every day. Church life matters. Church life matters big time. Without the Lord's churches, we have no pillar, no ground of truth. All right, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is good. I don't have much longer to go for those that are on a time schedule. Besides, what are you going to do? Go search Twitter and find out what the news is or something? Let's just get the Bible. I know, you got to get a good night's rest so people don't have an excuse to quit church tomorrow. Right, y'all wouldn't do that, would you? You got home late. How many of you are getting home by midnight tonight? Nobody? How many gets home by 10? Sooner than 10? Everybody's going to get home sooner than 10 o'clock. Raise your hand. You're going to get home sooner than 10 o'clock tonight. Oh. You go and play video games. Hopefully you'll get some out of this. 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, if thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Particularly, that was written to Timothy, pastors. We need to behave. Amen. And of course, it's the members. I understand it. Behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Now, when the Bible says the word church in a singular form like that, I mean, it might say the church of Corinth. That's a particular. But when it says it like this, it's talking about the church defined. Okay, this is where people get so messed up. It's not that hard. Upon this rock, I will build my church. See, so Jesus started one church and there's always going to be one church. Where in the world do you get that? It means assembly of people, saved, baptized believers. There's no way, in simple, there's no way we can assemble with everybody that's saved and baptized. It's a local church. When it says it, church, when I will build my church, when you say I will build my church, that's church defined. We okay? Did that help somebody somewhere? Don't let it get so confused. God, if you're confused, I'm confused on this. Well, God, not the author of that. Okay, just trying to help. It has to be an assembly, a town hall meeting. That's the history of a church, is a town hall meeting. We're having a town hall meeting. Now we have a sort of a conference going here. It's a little different. Okay? It's not the Lord's Day right now. I know we're in a church building, a tabernacle of sanctuary. It's not the building, okay? You're going to meet with your local church tomorrow for the Father's business. Have we got it figured out now? Don't let it go. What about all those other things out there calling sister? I'm getting there. We're just trying to make sure we study the real first. Because this is what Jesus began. Remember Acts 1:1. Oh, I love Acts 1:1. It helps so much. Luke said, of all that Jesus began, there's a whole lot of things that Jesus didn't begin. There's a lot of things that Jesus began, but somebody else decided, I'll borrow what Jesus began and kind of, you know, go this other way with it. Like a counterfeit bill. Right. This is good. I'm excited. I just can't believe I'm part of a member of a Lord local church. I can't believe it. This is where you need to get excited. Oh, yeah, I go to church. Come on. There's three areas of practices in the Lord's churches that are under attack in our culture. Not in every culture, but here it is. It's just, this is an opinion of what I observe. And I've been in full-time ministry for over 30 years now. These three areas of practice, okay, and there's biblical principles behind them. If there's biblical principles behind them, we should look at them and pay attention to this. Number one, I see, is in God-glorifying music. There's an attack on it. There's the real God glorifying music, and then there's the not.
That's right.
And it may get real close to it, but again, what's the real and what's the counterfeit? Let me just show you something. I always have to be careful with this. Our family was a singing family, and my wife plays the piano. She had 3 years of piano lesson and plays great. I took 8 years of piano, and I can't play at all. I'm ashamed. But it sure helped me with the theory of music and the timing and so forth. So I can just give you this in simple. It's not that difficult. There's God-glorifying music, and there's flesh-glorifying music.
Right.
All right?
Yes.
Now watch this. You knew this song from, if you grew up in church, maybe some of you didn't, obviously, but Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So forth. Little ones, you got it. Yes, Jesus loves me. Now watch this. I'll just change the timing. Now I have, forgive me for having a carnal moment, but I got to prove this to you so you can see the difference. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible. Okay, I got to stop. Brother Miracle, say, sit down. That's a difference, a very big difference between a real church and a counterfeit. But you sang about Jesus loves me. How could that be bad? Yeah, but what did I have to do? And every one of them have to do. Their body naturally goes that way, which is the door to further. Listen, we don't have slow rock concerts in the Lord's churches. Now, I don't know what kind of music Nebuchadnezzar had playing. We can't play back the Bible. We don't have audio sound bits and bites to play back the sound. When David said that that music is to have a solemn sound, we can't play that back. We don't know how the harp of David exactly sounded. But we just know that it glorified God or it didn't. And when we're close to the Spirit of God, when we know Him, there's something that kind of says, there's something that says there's something not quite right about that. But if we want to justify it and say, well, it's got the word of Jesus in it. People justify wrong things all the time and count it as real. God glorifying music. The second one is separation. I'll just show it to you one more time because I don't want you to forget it. I'm getting piles of visuals going here. The picture is worth 1,000 words. I'm trying to save time here, so there's 1,000 words. And here's another one I see is translation of the scriptures. Now, please don't call me a heretic. This is not the only Bible in the world, okay? We English people don't have the corner on the Word of God. There are Bibles in other languages. Okay, come on. As a matter of fact, before we had this, the Bible was in Greek. Okay? I'm just trying. We can't be unreal. We can't be foolish. We can't worship this as an idolatrous thing. There are those that do that. There are those that say that the numbers. Hey, I realize, I'm glad it's organized. Okay? But it was in paragraph form in Greek. It didn't have the numbers and chapters. But some people will say, well, they're inspired. Number seven, seventh chapter, seventh book. I can't go with that. There's a line you got to draw and say, but look at the seventh word and the seventh thing. I'm just want to know what the Bible says. Don't try to get outside of the Word of God. I think there's been no, don't add anything to the Word of God. You know, don't try to make it something that it's not. It also counts. Okay? This is the authorized version 1611. Now, it's what we use is not actually the 1611. It has been spelled differently. The letters are different. I have an original page. This is cool. In frame in my office. An original printing of a 1611. A real page of Jeremiah. And it says I, Jeremiah. The J that looks different than the I. It's the oldest thing in our church besides rocks. It's awesome, man. It is real. I mean, it's like real. You can feel that it's real. I try not to touch it. It's behind glass. I don't worship it. It's a nice collective piece. But what we have is God's preserved word in the King James. It's the one I'm going to use. And the others are from corrupt manuscripts. And if you would just see a little history on the accountability that they used, and really it wasn't about King James. He just said, y'all do this. But these guys who knew the languages, who knew the grammar, who knew this and watched over each other like major accountability, God used that for the English translation. And it's amazing how a lot of the world, if you want to make money and you're from a foreign country, learn English. It's amazing how God did that. I can go with those kind of things, amazing grace that God gives us. But there's an attack. There's people that were once understanding that this was clearly the translation for the English people and have gone to the ESV. It's happening bad. It's happening bad. I don't have any trouble if I'm listening to the radio and American Family Radio. Okay, I'm just listening to radio. Do we do this sometimes? No, you don't. I'm just trying to find the news or whatever from at least a conservative angle. And some guy's rolling along there, and if he decides to quote the Bible, get my detector right out. I said, that's not real right there. The Scripture says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. The Scripture says that, what you're reading here. The ESV leaves out the blood. Right. Well, it may put it somewhere else. Sorry, you left it out. You left out one drop. Leviticus says the life of the flesh is in the blood. To me, if you take the blood out of a translation, you have a dead virgin.
Right.
Just don't do that. But it's being attacked. Why? Because if it sounds a little more cool, it kind of goes along with the ripped clothes that people wear. What are you talking about? Yeah, you go out and purchase. I don't understand this. When I was a kid, we ironed on patches, man. But now you pay a lot more money for holes in your clothes. How did this happen? Rock groups made it popular.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are we okay? We're talking about some marks, some proof. The Lord church is going to be glorifying to God, not glorifying to culture. Now, let's go back to that scripture. Look at this. You know, this is awesome. Are these tacks? Okay, man, I thought they was pop rivets. I thought, man, that thing really... I thought some of the Air Force guys built this in like a B-2 or something. I would have probably painted it military green. Yellow submarine is not something I'm going to do. Only older people got that. Anyway... Got here a pillar. Pillar. So in 2012, I got to tour Israel. Israel. The Holy Land. Walked the steps where Jesus walked. On a Sunday morning, we actually got a spot on the Mount of Olives in the Garden of Gethsemane. I don't know if any of you kids remember the message I preached on Jesus loves me. But he was in the garden. He prayed, oh, my Father, not my will, but thine be done. I was actually in the Garden of Eden. I don't know. It was just a neat moment. Well, then we got to tour the old ruins. The old ruins. And I thought about putting some PowerPoint pictures up, but you get it. You've seen them in your mind, the old Greek ruins, Roman ruins. You know, but what's left standing? You don't see the roofs. You don't see any furniture. You don't see. But what's left standing? You tell me. Pillars. They're still standing. 2,000 years more. Some of them standing. Oh, he's still. Now, some of them are down, but the only thing you see left of the ruins are the pillars and the foundation. I don't know if you're supposed to do this or not. I'm kind of a rock collector. Some of you remember that too. Well, there was shards laying around. I didn't see any rules. Stuck a little shard. It didn't really look like anything. When I got back, I put it in a little, you know, shadow box. Shard from a pillar in Jerusalem. That'd be cool. Little shard. Yeah. Little mosaics. A little shard. And it was some broken pottery. This time I got permission on this, so our guide We went to this old well. I got looking. It was broken pottery everywhere. Like, oh, man. And so I get little handles of stuff. And I said, can we keep? Yeah, take all you want. Ho, ho. I'm stuffing pockets. Man, on the way back, I almost went overweight on the plane because I had all this collection of stuff. Anyway, pillar. There's no accidents in the Bible. It's churches. Pillar and ground of truth. Why? Because the visual is there, the principle is there of lasting, enduring. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. No, they're going to fight against it. But in the Lord churches, the pillars still stand somewhere on this planet are the Lord's churches.
That's right.
Amen. And we meant none of us make an A+. None of us make an A+. Get humble about it, Brother Chad. None of us make an A+. But I sure want to. I sure want to. When something shows up, a little red ink on the paper, I want to go, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to have a... Aren't we supposed to have a pure church, a spotless church, without blemish? That's what God wants His churches to be.
That's right. Amen.
But it's the pillar and ground of truth. Steadfast. Sure. Just like an anchor. There's a lot of assemblies out there that call themselves churches. I understand that. But they're not standing strong. They're on shaky ground. And listen now, without His churches, Christians will have no foundation, will have no structure. But the right ground, okay? Grounded in the Word keeps the pillars right. It keeps the roof, it keeps the roof right. It keeps the elements from coming in. And those structures come from the Word of God. Just preaching the whole counsel of God. I realize I'm going thematic today. I'm preaching through the Scriptures in the morning. I believe it's so important for us to go verse by verse at some point in our ministries as pastors that we preach the whole counsel of God, because that's what keeps the church's pillar strong. That's what keeps the foundation strong. And no other foundation can that another man lay but that which is Jesus Christ. I misquoted it, but you know what I'm saying. There are those right now that say church is not essential. See, this is where this is where we are. It's not essential. Why? Because they don't believe it. It's an assembly.
Amen. Right.
We're talking about basic thing. Just like male and female should be as basic as it be. Church is an assembly.
Right.
Well, we're assembling online. No, you are not. That was miserable. I hated lockdown. I had to put a camera right here. And yeah, it had a little novelty in the first time. And I'm like, this is old quick. I want people to preach to.
Right, right.
This is not how it's supposed to be. I realize we had a virus storm. I understand that. And I sang, why worry when you can pray on a little thing right in front of me. But then I'm just like, we're done with that. This fast we could. Because this is not. I didn't want to preach funerals. I mean, there's some understanding. I didn't want to preach funerals. We didn't know about it, but we know about it now. Very few. I talked to our coroner this week. You know what a coroner is? He's like the second responder. And me and him see each other a lot because I'm the chaplain. That's my original spot, okay? I'm chaplain for the sheriff's office. And my badge looks different than the other guys. Mine says chaplain. But I've helped him pull a body bag up and into the car, and we've talked. But I saw him last week, and he said in the month of July, we didn't have any. Our count for COVID is up right now, higher than it's ever been in the county. Y'all are getting nervous. Everybody's backing up from me. It's higher, but he said no one has died from it in the month of July. Now, that's from the coroner. He's the one that signs your death paper. He's the one that looks over you and says, he dead. That's the coroner. The coroner. Yep, the coroner has even some authoritative power, because the only one that can arrest the sheriff in our county is the coroner. Little things you didn't know. Anyway, I hope he doesn't do that. We got to get done here. The churches, the Lord's churches, are about the Father's business. That's so good. And Jesus literally, if we want to put it in this form, started the business on the shores of Galilee. The disciples were at ground level in the business. He said he'd build his church, and he commissioned it. Listen now, I'm trying to get to the wrap-up. Matthew 28, he commissioned his church. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, which is just as important in the commission as the other two. Lo, I'm with you always, even in the world. Okay, Acts 1:1. All that Jesus began, that first church that he started, was in a prayer meeting in Acts chapter 1. There was about 120 there. In chapter 2, the Holy Spirit empowered that church, and it was very clear that this was of God. And they did speak in foreign languages to them. Tongues. Boy, I tell you, our missionaries that deal with charismatic, it's so hard. But listen, there's the real thing. And there's the fake thing. In chapter 2, Peter preached that God had already done the impossible by Jesus rising from the dead, and that Jesus had fulfilled all prophecy. And literally, you can go through the whole books of Acts, just every chapter, and seeing that the Lord's churches matter, and that they are essential. Just see how when Peter did that. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. And so they're following the Lord, tearing at Jerusalem, and here we go to the uttermost parts of the earth. Philip, the Ethiopian, Paul, all the churches. Did all that matter? We're still here. So it did matter. The Lord's churches matter. Church life matters. Church life matters. It's the greatest business there is. It had the best beginnings, had a sinless founder, the great shepherd, and listen, on the ground level, listen, the Father's business has the best benefits, has the best pay, has the best boss, the head of the church, the retirement program. This is the Father's business. You think it's going to be better, or you think it's going to be worse than any other business that ever been? It's going to be better than any business that's going to be in. Someday, we're going to be at headquarters with Jesus forever. And this is even better. We're all going to actually get a raise before retirement begins. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. That's a raise, in case you didn't get that. Now you do. You get it now. You guys haven't worked jobs yet. You didn't get it. In heaven, there'll be no more sick days. There'll be no more dealing with unsatisfied customers. There'll be no more rudeness. No more costly insurance. No more thieves. No more sin. No more death. Our middle son, Matthew, was born on January the 15th. And he died on January the 15th, 2010, at exactly 15 years old. Back when we used to travel, we came here. And when the B-2 engines, they could hear them out there, we'd be downstairs homeschooling. Our kids would run out and watch those B-2s take off. Matthew watched those. Matthew's a lot higher than those B-2s can go now.
Amen.
See what happened? Matthew was playing basketball. We were scheduled to go to Bible Baptist Ash Grove, Missouri, that night. It was a Friday night. We'd had some little symptoms come up. We didn't understand. We did some tests. They didn't find anything. Collapsed on the basketball court. They checked his body later, the autopsy, and said that he had an arrhythmia caused basically a young heart attack. He was the fastest kid on the team. He had the best game that he'd ever played that night. Steals, rebounds, fast breaks, unbelievable. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. So I know the soul of Matthew's with the Lord. I was there. I led him to the Lord. We're in Abilene, Texas. After Matthew got saved, he was little. We got home a couple weeks later, and Matthew came walking up to me. He was crying. And he handed me a little action figure toys of Superman. I said, "Where'd you get that?" I didn't give it to him. He goes, "I stole this from my cousin." He was crying, brokenhearted. You see, when you get saved, there's a change in your heart.
That's right.
I don't care how old you are, you change. The last thing I remember Matthew telling me or saying, the last words, was, "Yes, sir." We had been hunting. We had just started bow hunting. He hadn't got one yet. Matter of fact, he practiced and shot and split. He shot a Robin Hood arrow, went in an arrow as they were practicing. We put that arrow on the casket with the flower arrangement. We'd been hunting. We were about to start, you know, meeting. The season was over. So we took down the climbing stand he was using. And I said, "Well, we don't want to leave it because we'll be gone for a while. So why don't you go ahead and just put that in the storage. We don't want to leave it out in the driveway." On the way to the game, I asked him, I said, "You put that away?" He said, "Yes, sir." That was the last time I said anything to him. Last thing he said to me, because he was playing ball with his friend, and I never talked to him again. But I'll talk to him again. Because Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Though he were dead, yet shall he live." So you don't know how long you have. So they called me. I know you've heard the story. It's not even in my notes, but they called me and said, "Would you donate Matthew's skin?" Because it was going to do an autopsy. It couldn't do anything from the inside. And I said, "You know, if Matthew was alive and could make this choice, I believe he would. Because people have burns, and they use them for burn victims. They use other people's skin." But when they called, I couldn't handle it. I didn't even know where Mackie, they even did this, called people like this. I learned quick, but I said, "Can you call me a little later?" I said, "Well, we need to do it fairly soon." "I understand." So they called me back and asked me questions. "Did he have AIDS?" "No." "Did he have sexual transmitted disease?" I said, "No." "Did he have this and that?" "And no. I said, "Man, listen, all he had was acne. That's all he had. He had nothing else. He never had a girlfriend. We were such a tight family, you know." And I was getting bitter. I can't believe I have to answer questions like this. The Lord just sort of poured in some grace and said, "You know how many parents out there can't say no to all those questions?" I said, "You're right, Lord, thank you." He went to heaven as pure as you could go. You say, "Act like he wasn't a sinner." Oh, he got beat a few times, sure. There's something about Matthew was different. This one thing, I don't know why this was his thing, but at night we'd have, you know, a little prayer, family, devotion. We go to bed. Now, our bedroom's off limits. Kid never go to our bedroom the way we did it. But he'd always knock on the door, say, "Love you." He had to be the last one to say, "I love you," before the night was done. He always had to be the last one. That was his thing. And it didn't happen. Now, he's the fastest kid on the team. And I know we're going to meet the Lord in the air, and I know the dead in Christ rise first, but we're going to catch up with him. He walked right here. He sang right here at this church. But I'm thankful that he was saved, that he was baptized. And up till he was 15, he was part of one of the Lord's churches. It's great. You know, I grew up in church. At 16 years old, I was leading singing in junior church, bringing people to church on the bus. I was a bus captain at 16 years old. Sang in the choir, adult choir at 16 years old. Went door to door, handing out tracts. Went to Christian school. I got trophies for being the best Christian testimony. I can tell you this, you may be growing up in church, but you may be missing the main thing. I'm thankful for church, but the church doesn't save you. That's backwards. You're saved first. You're baptized. I wasn't saved until I was 19. Went to team meetings just like this. I was under conviction. Brother Mark, I was under so much conviction one time. It was a camp service. I was on staff on camp that time. I ran out of the service, read the whole book of 1 John, tried to get assurance. Don't look at me like that. Some of you did that too. You know you did. But you're under conviction. But then it passed. Well, it came again when I was 19. Maybe some other times too, but this time I decided it didn't matter what everybody thought. Because Tim Crumpton had never come to the point where I admitted that all my righteousnesses were as filthy rags. I couldn't grasp that. But that's what the Bible said. The Bible that I knew oh so well, I thought. I could say the book, in the second grade, I could say the books of the Bible forwards and backwards. For an extra bag of candy, kids will do a lot of stuff. And backwards. I could spill them all. Won't do you no good if you're going to hell. Let me tell you something about hell. Ain't nothing matter in hell. Right. Nothing matters anymore in hell. It's real. You say, is hell real? Are you trying to scare me? Jesus said there was a rich man. In hell, he lifted up his eyes being in torment. Jesus told that story. According to the scriptures, it's a real place where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It's real in the ultimate destination. Whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It's a real place. I know it is, but I know this. I'm not going there. Because Jesus saved me. And it's not that stack of stuff I did. Believe me, that's filthy rags. There had to be a repentance that took place. I had to turn. In my heart, it wasn't no outside. I just turned and said, Lord, all that stuff that I'm trying to save myself is not saving me. I believed in the Bible. I believe Jesus died on the cross and raised the dead. I believe that too. He said, well, you're saving it. Yeah, but I didn't ever admit that I was going to hell. In my heart, I did not repent until I accepted God's way, not my way. I've been through the prayer. I've been through the motion. I've been baptized before. Let me tell you something. Of all the things that matter here, what we've been talking about, the number one thing that matters is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That matters the most. And then you grow in grace. I love the gift of God because it's a gift that just keeps on giving. It's a package. You know, you've seen a little package or something, package inside of a package, inside of a package. Yeah, it's better than that. It just keeps you, the more you open it, the bigger they get. These are the things that matter the most. Let's finish with this verse. Don't turn there. Ecclesiastes 12, 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Here's what matters. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Being saved, having the basics of the scriptures it matters so much. Family. Godliness matters. The Lord's churches matter. Knowing the scriptures matters so much. Now, what matters to you? Girls, guys, is that all that matters in your life now? Video games, entertainment, doing your thumb 50, doing all that stuff. Some of you ladies are addicted to Pinterest. You need to give that up. That's half true, right? You're okay. My wife is. She's trying to get over it. She's addicted. It's a work in progress. Hey, you better get with God because it matters. more than we ever know. Let's pray. Lord, we sure thank you for your word. So many scriptures. We're just processing this, Lord.